Do you clean up your garden beds? And what do you do to put your garden beds to sleep for the wintertime? That's this week on Thrive in the Future. Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast, positive solutions to help you thrive. Homesteading, gardening, community, side hustles, and building skills. Do you plant trees in the fall? People don't realize that when you plant trees in the fall, you give a little bit extra time for the little root nodules to grow, and it can also reduce some of the transplant shock as opposed to spring. For example, in the spring, it's going to get hot in Kansas really fast. Welcome back to Thrive in the Future this week, talking about what are you doing to put your garden to bed for the wintertime. But first, what happened to the podcast? I mean, we've only had a couple of episodes in the last couple months. It's been about one a month. And the reason for that is just so many projects that I have going on. I started my first paid Food Force design and spun up my Food Force design company, Thriving Food Force. That's at thrivingfoodforce.com. Grant Payne and I will talk about that in next week's episode. And Grow Nuts Trees has been doing really well this year as I significantly expanded into pecans and everything else. At one point, I have plants all over the entire yard in containers. Last week, I went to Chestnut Charlie's, which is the local organic chestnut farm here in Lawrence, Kansas. A lot of my trees are second generation from there. I've collected and foraged chestnuts from local trees that were originally planted from seed from there. So I went there for a U-pick at the very end of the season, and the cool thing about that is that the Dunstans and the bigger chestnuts that are hybrids fall later in the season. And I got there with 15 minutes left in the entire weekend. I didn't expect to see much, and it was kind of slim pickings there for a while. But I got introduced to Charlie, the 74-year-old owner of Charlie's Chestnuts, and he gave me a guided tour for a whole hour of all the different chestnut trees. One of the things that was really cool is this Dunstan hybrid called Revival, and this has a chestnut that's almost as big as my palm. I don't know how big these burrs get, but they're huge. So I got some of those as well as some Dunstans, and I'm going to work those into my Grow Nut Trees crop next year. I'll grow them out into trees. So let's talk about what do you do to put your garden to bed in the fall for the wintertime. So maybe you're lucky and your growing season is still going on. Here in Kansas, the last frost date is October 20th, the average last frost date. And that'll get like a light frost, but then we won't get a very hard frost, which is below 28 degrees, where it just basically nukes everything. We don't usually get that until later in November, sometimes the end of November. And last year, we didn't even get a light frost until mid-November. So there's still some growing time. The challenge that I've had is that it's been so dry and so hot for so long that I was unable to get any of my fall-type crops, the lettuce, the brassicas, and everything to germinate in the middle of September and into October to give myself enough time to get a harvest. Even in the greenhouse, it's just a little bit too hot. I've planted some black-seeded Simpson lettuce, which is the cut-and-come-again lettuce, in the greenhouse. And as it cools down, I usually have a crop of that that will last all the way until January or February when it gets down below 20 degrees, and I just can't keep up with heating the greenhouse. So what do I do to put my garden beds to sleep? If it's a milpa bed, and I just started it this year, and remember, when I create milpa beds, I turn over the soil with a broad fork, I put a layer of compost, and then I put a cover crop milpa seed, which is many different seeds mixed together. I put a little bit of wood chips on top of that. That came up really well this year, and I have a couple beds that are new that had a decent crop. So those have beans and everything on top of those. I'll chop and drop those and then probably add maybe a little bit of compost and some wood chips to the top. In the garden itself, what I usually do is I loosen the soil a little bit. Now you don't want to loosen it too much or turn it over too much because then you'll expose it and weed seeds will get in there all wintertime. You don't want that. So I'll take the broad fork, I'll loosen the soil a little bit. Sometimes I add some soil amendments like lime. Now, I'm kind of confused about lime, and this is something I'll have to follow up with, is that lime increases the pH, which makes it more alkaline. And we've got fairly alkaline soil anyway, but it seems like the lime helps a little bit, so I add some garden lime at some point. And then also add organic matter. I'll either add horse manure, or I'll go and get some compost and add that. And then this time of year, after the major freeze, all the leaves drop. And in town, there's a lot of heavy oak leaves that'll just cover people's yard. So they'll fill their bags up to be taken to the city compost facility. And they'll pick those up on like Thursday or something. So I drive around and just throw those bags in the back of my truck. I go home, I pile those up on top of my garden beds, and then cover those with wood chips. That helped a lot last year, and I got a really good sweet potato crop. Now, my sweet potato crop this year had sweet potatoes that were as big as footballs. So it was a huge crop. I think this year I'm going to add some kelp and some other things to increase the potassium and add some things that my soil is lacking. One of the things I also look at is that azomite. Some people have been talking about boron, so that's something I need to check a little bit more. So if you use boron and you put a little bit of boron in your soil, then let me know in the comments on our Telegram group or on Twitter. I'd like to know what your experience is with it. Some people also add molasses mixed with water to feed the soil bacteria. And that was one of the things that Nick Ferguson had in his lasagna gardening strategy. He would break up the soil, add some pelleted feed, then add some amendments, as well as adding molasses to feed the soil microbes, covering the whole thing with a layer of compost, and then covering it with deep mulch for the wintertime, either, like I said, with the leaves followed by wood chips or something like that, and then let that settle down for the winter time. I've done that before, and I've come back, especially last year when we had a significant amount of snow in January. I came back and it had really changed the soil. Some people plant daikon radish as their fall crop so that it bores into the clay and breaks up the clay. So what are your tips and tricks that you do to prep your garden beds for the winter time so that you have a better success in the spring? Let us know. Tell us what your wins and losses are by joining our Telegram group. It's at signup.thriveinthefuture.com, or jump on Twitter and engage and tell me about it by following me at thriveinthefute. Check out the Permies Digital Marketplace. It's your source for all things permaculture for your homestead, side hustle, and designing your intentional life, from video courses to blueprints to books. There's a link in the show notes, Permies Digital Marketplace. Check it out. Thank you for listening to Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Thrive in the Fute, and also go to thriveinthefuture.com. If you like this content, then shoot us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thrive in the Future, or go check out the stuff on our stuff page on thriveinthefuture.com/stuff. You'll help support the podcast and maybe a little less hysteria in your life. Take care, everybody. So I'm winding down the year in grow nut trees. There's still some trees left: hazelnuts, pecans, and elderberry. Check it out, grownuttrees.com.